shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Boy, we got a 3-hour show ahead of us here. We have Don Berman, who's going to kick things off from Don Berman from Channel 19 News. Welcome to the program, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And one of the places we go, one of the places we go places where other talk shows can't is our pre-show, which is our video pre-show. And Robert, you felt very strongly about it.
Yeah, man. I mean, you are like on a tear, man.
Well, that's putting it moderately.
You're pretty mad.
I expressed myself very openly during our video pre-show about a whole lot of stuff. And it made me feel a little bit better, because this has not been a good day, and it hasn't particularly been a very good several days, with the inclusion, of course, of all of the news events that we've all been sharing. It's just been crappy, you know, just crappy. This last week has just been a crap week, going all the way back to the end of last week. So today on our video cast, at the very beginning of the video cast, I really went nuts. And we are going to feature that. I don't know. I can't get in touch with anybody. So I'm thinking tomorrow we're going to actually have rants on our website. Maybe. I have no idea. We also have possibly a podcast tomorrow. Maybe. I have no idea. But, you know, I'm doing my bit. All right. 877. They'll be there somehow, some way. Who knows? 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don Berman from Channel 19 News is going to join us from the Channel 19 News room in a moment. We're going to talk about Mitt Romney, and who's beginning to make a series of blunders, you know, maybe not all that serious, but they're just enough misstatements by the Republican presidential nominee that, you know, you wonder, maybe you ought to be thinking a little bit more clearly, or if you're going to make a statement like this one where he's, you know, he took exception to the Olympics security setup. Maybe you ought to be able to point to some specifics, you know, like have some comments that are backed up by other security people, you know. Anyway, Mitt Romney handed Barack Obama a potential gift for the U.S. presidential election campaign when the presumptive Republican nominee blundered on his first diplomatic outing by questioning whether London was capable of staging a successful Olympic Games. In a move that astounded Downing Street, hours before it laid on a special reception for Romney at number 10, he told NBC there were disconcerting signs about the preparations for the games. One senior Whitehall source said, what a total shocker, we're speechless. David Cameron, who was the Prime Minister, as you know, of Great Britain, wasted no time in rebuking Romney. Hours after his remarks were broadcast, on a visit to the Olympic Park, the Prime Minister said, "We're holding an Olympic Games in one of the busiest, most active, bustling cities in the world. Of course, it's easier if you hold the Olympics in the middle of nowhere," which is a comment about Salt Lake City. And Cameron's remarks were intended to be a lighthearted jibe at Romney. Well, I wouldn't call that lighthearted, but nonetheless, they're appropriate. Who used his famous management skills honed at Bain Capital to rescue the 2002 Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City, Utah. Boris Johnson, the London mayor, joined in the jibes at a celebration to greet... what happened? We don't have the rest of the story, bud?
Yeah, sometimes it comes out messed up.
That's a good way to put it. Tell you what, let's get on the line here. Let's get our good friend Don Berman on the line, and we'll talk a little bit about this with Don. Don, you heard these comments. They're made by the Prime Minister, I guess Boris Johnson, who's the governor. Excuse me, the mayor of London, had something similar to say. What, in the words of Bill O'Reilly, what say you?
You thought I was kidding when I said to you that I can't. I of all the things that people say, Phil, on television that they use for catchphrases, the one that really makes my skin crawl is that "What say you?" So you did that on purpose, I guess, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, because we've been talking.
I don't think I made myself as clear as I should. That really does bother me. So when you use that phrase, "What say you?" It literally does make my skin crawl.
All right, well, I'll avoid using it.
I would really appreciate it. I would really appreciate it.
All right, I'm sorry, Don. Don Berman with Channel 19 News. What do you think of Mitt Romney and his comments?
Well, I think that David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, and Mr. Johnson, who is also the Mayor of London, I think that they, and again, I'm a newsman, and I am ostensibly supposed to be objective. I report the news, Phil. I'm not a news commentator. I don't give opinions. But in this case, I have to give an opinion. Because it is such a glaringly ignorant thing to say that I must. I am called by duty and I am called by conscience to say something about what Mitt Romney said. And it is exactly that.
You're calling it ignorant?
An absolutely ignoramus thing to say for a man representing one of the major political parties in the United States of America, and may very well be, and of course will be, he's the presumptive nominee, as we call him, still has to be beneficial. But for him to say something as imbecilic as that makes me wonder whether or not Mitt Romney can really effectively govern as president of the United States if he gets elected.
All right, well, what he said, what about David Cameron coming back with that comment about the middle of nowhere?
Well, he's absolutely right.
You think that that was, now he said that that was a lighthearted jibe.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think it's lighthearted at all. He's basically saying that this is London, and you staged the Olympics in the middle of nowhere. I don't think there was anything lighthearted about it. I think that it was dead on serious.
But the middle of nowhere meaning a smaller city.
Well, Salt Lake City is a city because there's buildings and there's people, but it's not London. It's nowhere near London. And certainly when they had the Olympics there, it wasn't anywhere near, it was even further away from being London than it is today. Salt Lake City is a medium-sized American city. On the scale of cities internationally, it doesn't even show up. It's a blip, as they say, on the radar. So I think David Cameron was absolutely right. And I think that Mitt Romney, if he's going to weigh in on something like security for the Olympics, I think it has to be a comment that is germane to the situation, to the size, to the challenges, and simply not to shoot from the hip as he did and say, well, it looks like they've got problems. Mitt Romney, Phil, you know, I'm not a big fan of his, but I can't say any more. Because I am a newsman, and I am an individual that gives objective opinion.
All right, we're here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News as we talk about the comments of Mitt Romney and the coming, well, the Olympics are there. I was actually watching some of the soccer last night.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's the first round soccer. Who cares? It's Japan, and it was Japan and Spain. I think Japan was on their way to an upset. They were very aggressive. But I'm not a soccer fan per se, but I was watching just just to watch it.
And this is what we should be concentrating on is the games themselves and the success of the games, and not be talking about Mitt Romney, and not be talking about what Mitt Romney knows when it comes to security. Obviously, he doesn't know a lot. Now, I think he attempted to come back and make some statements that would clarify what he was trying to say, but the damage is done. Mitt Romney has once again misspoke, and right now he is handing, and this is the thing that's amazing to me, the Republicans banked an awful lot on this presidential election, Phil. The Republicans banked the retaking of the White House on this particular election. They felt that this was their best shot. They felt that this was going to be the year, and the Republicans are halfway to giving the White House to Barack Obama for another 4 years.
All right, so you're saying that Mitt Romney is that bad of a candidate?
I think he is. He's absolutely, and again, I can't give opinions because I am an objective news reporter. You understand when I do news, and I do news on a television station in the city of Los Angeles, that's a big city, Los Angeles. If Mitt Romney wants to visit a big city to get some idea as to what they deal with in London, he can come to Los Angeles, and he can live the way I live. He can walk in my shoes. He can have my job. He can deal with the problems that I deal with. And I can tell you, if you've had an alcohol abuse problem, as I've had, I would have much rather had it in Salt Lake City than here in Los Angeles. So this is what I have to do.
All right, we're kind of going off on a lot of tangents here.
No, I'm qualifying my statement.
And all right, you're an objective newsman.
I have to be an objective newsman, yes. But having said that, Mitt Romney has murdered the Republicans' opportunity for the presidency in 2012. He has murdered it. He will never be elected president. And, it's very difficult to see if this guy's going to recover.
All right, at least you're not giving an opinion.
My opinion is he'd be a lousy president. That's my opinion. But I'm not going to give that. I'm not going to repeat that over and over because of my step.
Well, when you say that Mitt Romney can't win, that's an opinion, isn't it?
No, I don't think it is an opinion. I think I'm looking at the facts straight on, and I'm saying, well, this is my analysis.
Well, isn't an analysis the same as an opinion?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
An opinion is based on, we've got a phrase that we use, however indelicately, we use a phrase in America called talking out of your rear end. That's an opinion. It doesn't have to be based on anything. It doesn't have to be anything. An analysis has to be based in some factuality.
All right, let's take a break. We're talking here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News about Mitt Romney and the statement that the security situation in London didn't look all that, solid. I'm paraphrasing. All kinds of criticism for that statement. Don Berman on talking with us about that, saying that, well, Romney is pretty much, he used the word murdered, the Republican Party's chances of becoming, of retaking the White House. 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You are welcome. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. And the question we're asking you, and we're talking with Don Berman this hour about, let me turn the fan off here, excuse me. Don Berman on the line with us from, in transit to Channel 19 over on La Brea in Los Angeles. We're talking about Mitt Romney's statements vis-a-vis the Olympics. Do you feel, and I think you've pretty much opened you've opened the door on this one, Don. Is Mitt Romney really presidential material? Has Mitt Romney opened his yap one too many times and said one too many stupid things to make the American voter suspicious of him?
And I think, Phil, the answer to that question, which I think is a very, I think that is the question, I think the answer to that question, and again, I'm an objective newsman, so I can't offer an opinion, I'm not going to offer an opinion to compromise my position as an objective news reporter. But I have to say that I think Mitt Romney, with these series of comments, has absolutely compromised himself as a potential president, and he has begun to make himself, in the eyes of the American people, I think, look a little bit of a stumble bump, to use the words that you were using. I think that he's Mitt Romney is looking, a little bit of a stumble bomb and a little bit of someone who is prone to the mal speak. And
well, now okay, but see again, you're saying you have to be objective.
I absolutely have to be objective, but there are some stories where you can't be, and this is it.
And yet not last week, but I think yesterday, you said that you could not take an editorial stance on the shooting in Aurora, Colorado, until all the facts were in, right?
That is correct, yes.
All right, so Mitt Romney is going to make a lousy president based upon his statement that the Olympics, don't look like they're being well run in London.
Well, no, not just on that, but just the overall, when I look at Romney, I think it's obvious to even the most dense individual that Romney is a disgrace, a potential disgrace of a human being as a president.
Okay, all right, and that's not an opinion.
No, I don't. I think that's analysis, and that's part of what I do.
All right, so then we go to the Aurora shootings, and you say that you don't want to express an opinion until all the facts are in. What facts need to be in?
Well, again, Phil, this is a much different story. Aurora, Colorado, there's going to be a trial. And
so you don't even want to identify James Holmes as the shooter?
I don't know. I don't know. I know that that's what they say. I know that that's what... But I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could know.
877-876-7445. 877-876-Phil, as we're talking here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News, and the question is, has Mitt Romney just soured his chances to be president of the United States with these comments about London? Let's go over to Lloyd in Alhambra. Lloyd, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
The gentleman was making a comment about you said Bill O'Reilly, and is that correct, sir?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry?
Yes, I did mention Bill O'Reilly's tendency.
We were talking about what say you. Is that right?
Yeah, there you go. That's yes, sir. You were talking about Bill O'Reilly saying, "What say you?" And you said that it made your skin crawl. Correct?
I have to be honest with you, sir. Yes, it makes my skin crawl when I listen to Bill O'Reilly, who is a puffed up individual, a little bit of a pompous ass.
Well, you know, I want to tell you something. When I heard Bill O'Reilly say, "What say you?" the first time, I felt, I was impressed with him, and I felt he was impressive in the way that he spoke. But the second or third time I heard him say it, I'll tell you a little story. My son had gotten a little Shih Tzu dog. I don't know if you know what kind that is.
Yes, I do.
All right. And I was petting the animal, and I had the animal in my lap. And may God forgive me, but when I heard O'Reilly say, "What say you?" the second time, I remember putting my hands around the throat of the animal.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, please hear me out, Mr. Hendry.
What did you do?
What I did was nothing compared to what Bill O'Reilly did, and I'm simply saying that.
You're not going to blame Bill O'Reilly's "What say you?" on you strangling that dog.
What I'm telling you, Mr. Hendry, is the fact that when I heard, the two of you were just talking about Bill O'Reilly and Mr. Berman.
Sir, I did say that I did not like Bill O'Reilly saying, "What say you?" I did not react to that comment or to that phrase in any violent way.
I'm not interested. I'm telling you that I reacted negatively, too, and I'm trying to show you that there is some commonality here.
But you're telling us that you strangled a dog.
I did not strangle the dog. Bill O'Reilly strangled the dog is the point that I'm trying to make. Because I am a Korean War veteran.
You need to slow down, sir.
Mr. Hendry.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm okay, but Bill O'Reilly said the phrase, "What say you?" And I squeezed the life out of it, out of the dog. Now, there is nothing in what I just said to indicate that I wanted you to indict me for this.
No, I'm afraid that we have to. You were the one holding the dog.
If you had the dog in your lap, sir, and Bill O'Reilly's on TV, and I'm assuming that's what was happening?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And Bill O'Reilly said, "What say you?" And you strangled the dog as the result of him saying that. You are the one that did the strangling.
But Bill O'Reilly is the one that... would you agree with me that Bill O'Reilly is the one that...
Yes, of course I would agree with you. And I also agree that, yes, I did say it makes my skin crawl. But making my skin crawl and me wanting to strangle an animal are two completely different things.
So you're learning it over me... And so the common ground that we... Never mind.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. That guy needs a looking into.
I can tell you, Phil, I think it is unbelievable. It's beyond the pale of anything that I have experienced. To say that I don't like Bill O'Reilly, is true. To say that I can't stand it when he says, what say you, is true. To say that I can barely stand looking at him, it's all true. But I have never wanted to kill a small dog as the result of
him saying, what say you?
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll be back with Don Berman, 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't know how you do that, because if you're telling me that you're getting away with those kinds of things, to me that's amazing.
Getting away with what?
Well, I mean, I just heard you on your because I'm watching you. You know, we watch you sometimes in the newsroom, and what you said there during your news break was amazing.
Well, let's not talk about it. How about that?
Why not?
Because I don't think it's going to do any good.
You were on your to talk that way about the people that you're in business with. These are the people that syndicate your show.
You know what, Don? If you want to be the guy that says this, that about Mitt Romney, that's fine.
I'm an investigative reporter, Phil. That's my job. And if you are saying things about how your show is being handled, and
I'm not saying anything. And I want to move past that, okay, if you don't mind?
Well, all right, but you were on your news feed.
I know what I was on my news feed, and I was on my video cast, and I say a lot of things on the video cast, but I'm not saying I'm here, and that's just the way it is, okay? I've got a very great company that I work with. They're fantastic.
Oh, what a lie.
Will you please?
Oh!
What is it with you, man?
Oh, come on, Phil, I mean...
Will you just drop it, man? Drop it. It's a great company, and they're doing a great job.
Wow. Wow. Phil, you were raised Catholic, correct?
Yes.
Isn't it a sin, a mortal sin, to tell a lie?
All right, so anyway, Britain riled by Mitt Romney's doubts over its Olympic readiness. President Barack Obama embraces gun restrictions. These are the news pieces here from today that you're going to be covering. Let's talk about President Barack Obama embracing gun restrictions.
Well, President Obama is talking about... No. I still want to stay with what you're saying here about...
No, we're not going to talk about that. I can hang up on you if you want.
What an ass.
Yeah, that's right. That's me.
Well, all right. President Obama does favor the restriction of assault weapons, the banning of assault weapons, if you will, or at least some restrictions on assault weapons. Now, White House spokesman Jay Carney said Obama still supports a ban on the sale of assault weapons, a restriction that expired in 2004. There are things we can do short of legislation and short of gun laws that can reduce violence in our society, said Jay Carney. Now, the stir in London came on the first full day of Romney's first international tour, but I guess we've talked about that.
All right, yes, we have. Now, what about Obama?
Well, I mean, this is a big hot-button issue with regard to gun control because of what happened in Colorado. I think that Obama is taking on a political hot potato. They're not being specific. He's saying, well, we ought to have an assault weapons ban. But I don't know that when there was an assault weapons ban, that there was anything that was done positively. So I don't know. You know, I think gun control we should avoid talking about altogether. Now, that's just my observation as an objective newsman.
You know, you aren't all that objective here. You know that? You're just not all that objective. You've been talking here about Romney this and Romney that, and now you're talking about Barack Obama and we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, and you're calling yourself objective.
Yes, I am objective.
Then what is with the opinion that we shouldn't do any of this because, you know, it's a political hot potato?
Well, that's an analysis.
What's the difference?
I told you, the difference is that...
One of them's based in opinion and the other's based in facts.
Yes. So that's the difference. So if I were to say to you, for instance, Phil, if I said to you that I think you are a dirty, filthy, no-good, lying bastard, and I could point to lies that you told, that would be analysis. That wouldn't be an opinion, and I could do that on the air.
You could... Say that again?
I could go on the air and say Phil Hendry is a dirty, lying SOB. Really? Yes. Here are the facts. Now, you know, I'm not going to bring up what you said you didn't say.
Let's get off that, please.
All right. But, I mean, that's an analysis. If I said I think Phil Hendry's a dirty, lying SOB, but I have no proof, that would be an opinion.
All right. So you're giving a lot of analysis here.
I'm giving analysis, yes. Same thing with Mitt Romney. I think that Mitt Romney is a stumble bum. This guy is strictly from hunger. I mean, from way back, he's a real yahoo, and he said what he said about the London Olympics. It was ill-spoken and ill-said, and he's just ill. And as a result of that, that's an analysis. So that's what I'm thinking, and that's what I'm doing.
All right, well, I'm going to get you off the air right now because you suck. And
wait a minute, Phil. Now, that's just...
Sorry about that, folks. That was no way to begin a radio show. I can give you the...
What if he calls back?
If he calls back, we're not putting him back on the air, okay? I don't. You know, he's doing what he does, which is trying to position himself for some Emmy or something. You know, he thinks he's like... He doesn't want to be called a commentator because he's a newsman, but he's a commentator.
Yeah, but if he calls back, though.
If he calls back, don't put him on. How many times do you want me to say it?
You're going to get mad.
I don't care if he gets mad. How long have you guys been working with me? A long time, right?
Yeah.
Have I ever given a damn whether somebody's going to get mad that I hung up on them and they may call back this and that?
No, but I mean, there's going to be fallout and everything like that.
Yeah, fallout like they had Japan, you know.
Nuclear fallout?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What? Wow.
Not nuclear.
Well, maybe.
Just be quiet. No, it's not nuclear fallout, Robert. Wrong use of the word. All right, controversy broke out on the presidential campaign trail Thursday in the wake of Republican Mitt Romney causing a stir in Britain by questioning whether the country is prepared to host the Olympic Games. See, the problem with the statement is that he's the president of the United States. He's visiting a country that has traditionally been a friend of ours. They have fought wars with us. They have bled with us. Many of the older families here in the United States, not all of the older families, but some of our older families originated in England with the Mayflower and all that jazz. Okay, so there's a cultural tie, there's a language tie, there's, you know, Mother England. So when you go over there and you're like the presidential nominee of the Republican Party, especially the Republican Party, I would think, you're going to say everything that you can to help them have a successful... Hey, man, I'm glad to be here. We're here in England. What a great country, great people. And look at this, man, they're having a big party, and it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, but what if he's wrong?
What if he's wrong? You know, I think you're in safe territory if you say, I think these Olympics are going to be great, and if they turn out to suck, you are going to be in a crowd of millions that were wrong about that one. Okay?
Yeah, I think most people probably think the Olympics going to be good.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think it's a controversial statement to say, hey, these Olympics are going to be fantastic.
Yeah, but what if you see something, man, and they get terrorism?
Let me tell you something, Robert. Mitt Romney is not qualified, at least from where I sit, and I don't see him traveling with anybody like security experts. I don't see him traveling with military experts. I don't see him traveling with terrorism experts, people that have the ability to size up what's happening there in London and to make the statement, well, it looks to me like, Mr. Governor, this whole thing sucks on wheels. I think you better say something. I don't see any of that stuff happening. I see a guy who wants to throw an opinion out there because maybe it'll win him some love. And that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life, some cat saying something like that.
Buddy, why do you think I win love?
The only way that comment's going to make you win any love is if you're right and something goes wrong. Some kind of a terrorism event takes place. Some kind of a terrorist attack takes place. Then Romney can say, well, I told you. And he looks like a real genius in the middle of God knows what horror we're dealing with. However, if that's the case, you know, if he thinks it looks like crap, then you got to come up with some reasons. Well, here's why I think it looks like crap. This. And you got to go all in, baby, as they say in the game of poker. You got to go all in. All right, 877-876-7445. We'll take a break. Come back for our last segment of the hour here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can get live streaming video of the show as well as... as well as thousands of hours of archived material. PhilHenryShow.com. And by the way, our new podcast, episode 23, is now up and ready to rock and roll there on our homepage. Just hit the podcast banner. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to line three, Margaret Gray, who is our frequent contributor in the world of entertainment. Margaret, how are you? And good to have you on the program.
Well, Phil, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm looking at you here on the iPad. And I know that a lot of this has to do with off-air stuff. But just so your listeners can understand something, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. By the way, are you in the tub?
Yes, I'm sorry, but I have to soak in a tub at night because of the sciatica that I have. And Frank's coming in with, and I promise, Phil, I won't get sidetracked. I know it got you angry the other night.
No, it's all right. I just want to know where you were.
I think that your audience should understand that you have, off-air during your video cast, you have been expressing some opinions that I think are very destructive. Hello?
Go ahead. You know, go ahead. Everybody wants to talk about that tonight.
Well, who is everybody? I'm not everybody.
I had Don Berman on the line here.
Oh, that ass. No, Phil, I'm a friend of yours. I'm not some blowhard doing some newscast. I'm here to give you some constructive criticism.
Fine. You know, there's an old saying, you know, the road to hell being paved with good intentions. I think we need to rewrite that 21st century. Road to hell is paved with constructive criticism.
Well, that is very childish. You know, I'm stepping out of the tub. I'm naked, Frank. So would you please shut the door? I'm getting some.
What are you doing?
I'm getting.
Okay, Margaret, you said to me.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'll get back in the tub now. I just wanted Frank to shut the door. Shut the door, Frank. Jason J. Delmonico is out there.
She didn't say anything.
So, Phil, my point is this. I heard you during your break, and you were saying they can suck it, blah, 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 blah. You heard what you said, yes?
Yes, I think I heard what I said, yes.
There's no need to be sarcastic, Phil.
I'm sorry, but I'm getting, you know, irritated here talking about this. Because it's really not for public consumption. What I said during the break has nothing to do with anything.
All right, I'm not giving away who it was you were talking about, am I?
No.
I heard you say that they can go F and they can suck something out of...
Okay. You know, please.
All right. But I think it's very destructive. I don't think it's going to, in the long run, I don't think it's the kind of thing that you want to say. That I don't think you want to marinate in those kinds of comments. And I read a book, and I wanted to give you some information about a book, and I thought what I would do is tell you about it. If you wanted to pick it up.
Okay.
It's a wonderful book. It's called The Seven Branches of the Several Trees. Have you heard of it?
No, I have not. What is it again?
It's called, you know, you sound very, you're like this. You're, no, I haven't. You know, cheer up, Phil. It's going to be all right.
Okay, fine. What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is The Seven Branches of the Several Trees. Several Trees. And it's written by a man that you've had on your program before, Dean Wheeler. And
yes, yeah, okay, I've had him on, yeah. He's got the New Age thing.
Yes, he's a New Age. He has the spa and the Northern California Holistic Center. It is absolutely amazing.
I have to tell you that I've had Mr. Wheeler on the show. He was on last night, as you know.
Yes.
And he was talking gun control, and he was talking about beating up women, having been arrested for heroin.
Phil, I know all of that, but what he said to you later in the program was that, of course, he has changed his ways. He hasn't beaten up a woman, I think, since 2001, and he has that wonderful center in Northern California. And I wanted you to be aware of the book that he wrote.
But you were on with him. You heard this crazy stuff he was saying.
It was crazy for them. He's changed. God.
All right, he's changed.
Why are you resistant to what I'm saying?
I'll tell you why I'm resistant, Margaret. You know, there comes a time when a man... First of all, the thing that I don't like is that I was saying stuff off the air. Yes, my subscribers heard it. And that's because my subscribers get to hear that. It's not for general consumption.
Oh, well, Phil, I know why you're saying that, because it'll up your subscription sales.
No, it's not for that at all. It's that I am not going to put it out on the air. I'm not putting it on the open, free airwaves.
Well, you were very upset.
Okay, so I was upset. Everybody gets upset. This is a workplace. People get upset. You know, but that's as far as I'm going with that.
Well, what about Mr. Wheeler's book?
Mr. Wheeler's book. Dean Wheeler was on this show last night with you and Larry Grover talking about gun control. As the evening wound down, Mr. Wheeler was on discussing the fact that he had been arrested on an outstanding fugitive warrant from New Jersey, where he had been arrested for possession of heroin for sale, that he had slapped around girlfriends, that he had, you know, then he was arrested on the fugitive warrant. He's back in jail, slapped whoever he was with then. And I'm supposed to be impressed with the fact that he hasn't hit a woman since 2001.
He hasn't hit a woman, Phil, since 2001. Coming off of that terrible experience of having been arrested on the heroin warrant. Now, I understand that that is all a very terrible thing to have done. I understand that. But I think we need to give a man the credit that he is due, that he was guilty of those crimes. He fled after posting bond. He was a fugitive. He got picked up on a fugitive warrant. He slapped around a couple of girlfriends as the result of him being in jail. You understand that, right?
Yes, I understand that.
The man was in jail. Now, I'm going to start yelling.
Well, if you want to start yelling, I can hang the phone up.
Well, that would be you. That would be you in a nutshell. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, hang up on me.
No, I'm not going to hang up.
All right, then listen. Dean Wheeler slapped those women around and left them unconscious because he was going to jail.
Slapped those women around and left them unconscious.
Yes.
And as a woman, how do you feel about that?
I feel terrible. I feel dirty. I feel despicable and I feel despondent defending a man like that. Defending a man that would do that to two sisters. But considering how far Dean has come.
I'm about to say something.
Frank's here, Phil. Do you want to talk to him?
Yeah, I'll talk to him.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm better than Custer. Listen, this Wheeler that he's talking about, Wheeler has come through an awful lot. And we knew her, you know her, when she was starting out the holistic whatever that gobbledygook was. Now, she gets married to this guy. She got married to the lady. Her name is Dean, right?
Yes. What is your point?
My point is that Emeralda, the woman that she married, has tested her patience. And if you have ever seen her with him, you would know that Dean is exercising total patience and control when she's around him.
You're talking about Dean. I have to tell the audience that Mr. Gray has gender confusion. That is, when he's talking about a woman, he refers to that woman in the third person in the male tense. Go ahead.
I don't know what it is you're saying, but every time you say that, I get very angry, and I want you to stop.
I have to tell the audience that.
You have to tell the audience. The point I'm making here is when Dean Wheeler married Emeralda, she swore that she would never raise a hand to him, and she hasn't. All right, so Dean has been good to her word. She hasn't slapped around the woman that she loves, and I think we need to give her credit, and I think that's what Margaret's trying to say. Well, he's been saying, sitting in a bathtub, splashing around, and sounding like some kind of a weird person in a tub. I don't know what it is she... You know, Jason J. Delmonico, you're worried about her seeing something. I don't know what it is she's going to see.
I don't want our son seeing me stepping out of the tub naked, Frank, going to fetch, you know, one of the bottles of lotion.
Yeah, I'll bet. So,
how dare you... All right, that took care of that.
What did you do? You slapped him?
Yes, I did. Get out of here, you bad boy. Boy, you think it's a real riot, don't you?
I think your whole house is a riot and a half. I love you. I love Frank. Jason J. Delmonico, if I ever get a chance to talk to him. You guys crack me up. From Frank's gender confusion to you smacking him around like he's a kid, and you backhanding Jason J. Delmonico.
I've never done any such thing.
You told me you did. You told me you got so upset that one time.
Oh, that, yes. That was an unusual circumstance. Yes, I did. By hand. It was a reflex, Phil. It was unconscious. It was unconsciously I backhanded him. Yes.
Okay. Well, Margaret, I can tell you this much. Thank you very much for being concerned with me. Thank you. And, you know, when you're talking about what Frank said about Dean, sounds good. Dean is doing the very best he can not to smack around Emeralda. Is that right?
That is absolutely true, Phil.
Okay. And I give him credit. I give him credit. I really do. And that's, that. You know, he's doing what he should do. If a guy's been in jail and he's cut a deal with the Attorney General of the state of New Jersey, and they could have thrown his ass away for a long time. So he's doing what he should do.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean the guy is some genius when it comes to New Age stuff or writing books about this, that, or something else. I'll read the 7 branches of the several tree.
I think it'll help you, Phil. I really do.
It'll help her.
Oh, yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Frank.
You're welcome.
877-877. I just put the phone down on Margaret. I hope that phone doesn't get dropped in the tub. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show coming back, and philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. 877-876-7445 is our number. Hello, America. On the line this hour is Jay Sanos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk about gun safety and you know, if you are a gun owner, they are checking right now. They're getting checked out on a range in the South Bay of Southern California. We're going to be talking with Jay, and we'll be there with him. We will be on the range with him and other members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as they are taking target practice and, you know, I guess testing their proficiency with their firearms. Not only are we here at 877-876-7445, the Phil Henry Show here as a talk show, you can also join us online at philhenryshow.com. And with a backstage pass, you can listen to archives. You can watch or listen to our live feed each and every night, which is a video cast. You can get the podcast the next day. It's automatically delivered to your device from our website. You can subscribe to it right there. You can, what else can you do? You can comment in our comment section. It gets pretty rowdy in there sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's all chill. It just depends. You can use the email that allows you to contact us here directly as a backstage pass holder. And that also allows you to vote on certain bits that we like to include in our Best Of series. In fact, we are compiling a Best of Bobby Dooley download that should be out next month. And our backstage pass members are the people that are picking that for us, just as they did the Ted Bell Best Of. So do it at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass, and check it out. You can sign up right there. By the way, episode 23 of the Free Phil Henry Podcast is out and about starting tomorrow. It might be online right now, as a matter of fact, Bud. Did you see?
Yeah, it's all right. You can look at it right now on if you go on to the banner.
Go to the banner on our homepage at philhenryshow.com. You'll see the podcast banner. That'll take you directly to where you need to go to get the podcast. You can also get it at iTunes. You can get it at Podcast Directory. Lots of places. All right, 877-876-7445. Jay Sanos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us from the South, from the South Bay. And you guys are over there at the River Club, right? Jay, is that near where you're located in Torrance?
Yeah, Bill, that's correct. The River Club is one of the more popular ranges. We've got 6 or 7 right now. Our sub-commanders are out here getting checked out on their revolvers. Now, the Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer police agency, which is very, you know, we are professionals. We're not carrying weapons because We are not licensed to carry firearms as a auxiliary police agency, but we do like our people to be checked out on them.
Why is that? If you don't carry them, are you allowed to?
Well, we are. We as a individuals, we have licenses. One or two of us, myself, Sub-Commander Gleason, Sub-Commander Epcot, have conceal and carry permits. Some of us, are allowed to carry that way. But that's something that I don't think, I want to talk about right here. I can just assure you, we don't have we don't come with holstered weapons.
All right, if you guys are not out there with weapons as you do these patrol duties, and I can understand that being a volunteer agency, what are you checking these guys out for?
Well, we just want to know that there's not a lot of time, Phil. I say to you, gee, you know what, Phil? I can't answer that question, but I guess that it would be better if I just said that.
That's going to make me suspicious in my listeners.
Well, I don't want to make you suspicious. I don't want to make you suspicious.
I was saying suspicious.
No, I understand that. I don't want to make you that way because there's nothing really to be, suspicious about. It's about the fact that I just want to know that our guys are proficient in the use of a basic service revolver, in this case, 38, a Smith & Wesson 38, and some of the guys have some of them have a long barrel, some of them like to use a snub nose. I personally prefer a snub nose.
And why is that?
I just like the feel of it. I like the way it looks, not because of any kind of, it's not that I like the way it looks because of any kind of, I want to look special or anything. It just, it looks, it looks good, and it looks good in the hand. And, if you drop a 38, if you drop a snub nose 38 on someone, they'll know that they've had it dropped on them. So. You guys already, we can give a demonstration here, Phil.
All right, so you guys are at the range. You all have 38s?
All the guys have 38s. I'm just going to guide a guy. Sub-Commander Gleason. You have a 38, Smith & Wesson 38? Let me just look at this. What is this?
A hammer.
It's a hammer. It's 38. All right, and go over here to Sub-Commander Epkin. What's this?
Smith & Wesson special. It's a bodyguard 38. Same kind of snub nose you got.
That's right. It's not the same snub nose I have. My snub nose is, it's pretty badass.
Oh, okay, fine, whatever.
No, not whatever. All right, so let's go over to this next guy here.
What were you saying to him?
What's that, Phil?
What was
that, Phil?
What were you saying to that guy?
I was just saying he had a snub nose like me. He said he had a snub nose like me. And I said, are you talking about guns? Or are you talking about, And ha ha ha,
No, you didn't say that.
Hold on, I'm going to talk to the guy.
I didn't hear that exchange. What were you two guys saying about the guns, the pistols?
I was saying about a revolver, the service revolver, that his looks like mine. Well, he said it looked like mine.
Yeah, I
said it looked like mine. I'm being interviewed on the radio, not you. I'm being interviewed on the radio, not you.
Okay.
He said it looked like mine. I said, no, it doesn't. His has more of a silver barrel. Mine's all black.
Okay, fine.
So can I keep...
Go ahead.
All right, let me go over here to Sub-Commander Raymond. How are you doing tonight?
Real good. My wife's going to have a baby.
Yeah, Sub-Commander Raymond's wife is due to have a baby here pretty quick, Phil. Maybe sometime tonight. Sub-Commander Raymond has a Smith & Wesson 38. Is it a chief special?
Yeah, it's number 36. I like it a lot, and it feels good in my hand, feels good in my slacks, when I put it down the slacks.
You say you put it down to slacks. That's because we don't use holsters, Phil. If you are licensed in the Citizens Auxiliary Police to carry a concealed weapon, I prefer that my guys just put it right in your pocket, or what we call slip it down your pants. And I think a lot of people have fun with that because they go, oh, we get it. It's like a phallic symbol. I go, no, it's not. But, we did that to make you think that because that's how childish some people are.
All right, so...
Right now, Phil, what we'll do is... Sub-Commander Epkin, Sub-Commander Gleason, Sub-Commander Ellis. All right, they're all lined up. What we're going to do right now, Phil, is do just basic free firing into the targets down there. Target 4, Jimmy, if you could, okay?
Yeah, you did that last week, too.
All right, target 4, and we're going to demonstrate how our guys... Sub-Commander Gleason, you go right ahead.
You want me to do it myself?
Yeah, do it all by yourself.
No, I mean...
Just go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm still aiming.
You want to hit the middle of the...
I know. I'm aiming.
Go ahead.
I'm aiming.
Wait, but let me see this. Holy God.
Well, that's the one you said.
Oh, my God.
What?
He's got a pink hand... You got a pink handle on this? It looks like a penis. That's exactly what it looked like. Look at the gun that this guy... He's got a .38 special pink air white... Oh, man.
That's my wife's gun. I didn't have
to... Yeah, big. You believe that, Bill?
All right, why don't you guys quit making fun of each other's guns? You know, it's almost like standing in the shower when we're in high school looking at each other's penises.
Well, I mean, it's about as pink as... Well, I shouldn't say, but, you know.
Shut up.
Go ahead.
I gotta aim.
You've been aiming now for... God.
What's with your guys, Jay? I mean, don't they know how to aim?
Yes, they do know how to aim, but I threw him off because I noticed his pink gun. Go ahead.
Keep saying go ahead. That's what I'm doing. I'm aiming.
How long does it take him to aim?
How long is it going to take you to aim? The host of the radio show wants to know. The host of the radio show wants to know how long it's going to take you to aim.
I don't know. How's that?
Do it again. How was it, Jimmy?
He missed.
You missed the whole bullet. You missed the whole target. You have to try it again.
Missed.
Is he hitting the target at all?
What?
Is he hitting the target at all?
No.
You're not hitting the target at all. You're not knowing, not hitting no target at all.
I'm trying.
God, are you kidding me? No wonder you guys don't carry guns.
No. Do it again. Wait till you hear us. We do a drill called... God, you scared the hell out of me, you idiot. You fired the thing near my ear, you jackball.
Bullseye.
What?
You got a bullseye.
Got a bullseye.
Yeah.
You are deaf. I'm deaf. Oh, God, I'm deaf. No, I can't hear nothing because Gleason fired it right near my right ear. Again, Gleason fired it right near my right ear. Can't hear a damn... Ah, yeah! Yeah!
Will you guys exercise some caution out there?
What?
Will you exercise some caution out there?
I'm sorry, I can't hear a thing you're saying.
Just go ahead, man. Just go ahead.
I can't hear you, Phil. I'm going to assume you want me to go ahead, so...
Well, actually, we're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Jay Sanis of the... Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're talking to him and his guys. They're out on the range.
Did you knock it off?
They're out on a gun range getting checked out. Here's the thing you ought to do, bud, is call them up. If you've got Jay's number, tell him... I don't know. Just tell him that, you know, find out how his hearing is, and we'll let him just go ahead and continue with this ridiculous target practice.
Well, that was only one guy. Maybe that's the only guy that don't know how to shoot.
Maybe that's the only guy that don't know how to shoot, huh? We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us as he and members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a group of sub-commanders, and we have to explain, Jay, what a sub-commander is, and I don't think that that's a bad thing to have. You know, it's a very unusual rank structure you have.
I don't think it's all that unusual, Phil. We have, and by the way, my ear... My hearing's coming back a little bit, but I told Sub-Commander Gleason, who is very proficient, by the way, with that .38, I told him you don't fire it when a guy's ear is 2 inches away.
Well, why do you say he's proficient?
Because ordinarily he is a very good shot. I think being on a radio and he got nervous.
He took 2 shots and he missed the target entirely.
I understand that. I know. I was here. I was standing here. I'm the guy who's lost his hearing.
So why do you call that... proficient?
Because the last shot, right through the bullseye, which is what we've come to expect of him, he blew my hearing out. I thought for sure I'd lost an eardrum.
But, you know, in the end, it all come out. But he's got to be careful. And
you weren't standing too close.
No, I wasn't standing too close. I mean, I might have been, but I'm not going to, you know, I am a brigadier admiral. That gets your question, by the way, if you want to get to that, or we can sit here and keep jawjacking and playing with it. And paddling that over, you know, whether it's...
No, Jay, there's no sense in being sarcastic. I simply wanted to know if what you call proficient.
Well, the other guys are chomping at the bit. They want to get going with their field test here and with their range test.
All right. So the question is command structure, or rather the rank.
Yeah, rank in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Phil, is pretty standard. It's the same as any military ranks. With two exceptions, we have used the rank of Brigadier Admiral, which is second in command to the overall rank of Major. Now, that's unusual. I understand that because there's no, like, for instance, there's no Major in the Navy, and there's no Admiral in the Army. But we wanted to mix the ranks to represent the Citizens Auxiliary Police can go anywhere, anytime, do anything they want, anytime. And so... In so doing,
meaning you guys are on land as well on sea as well as sea.
Yeah, in a way, yes. We handle where any of the. Why are you doing that? No, I'm still talking on the radio with Mr. Henry. I would appreciate it, gentlemen, if you would holster that weapon. Holster that weapon right now. That's where I tell him, Phil. Obviously, that's. You hear what I just said?
Yeah.
I said holster that weapon. That's what we will say as police officers to holster that weapon, I told you. You hear me say that? Oh, blow it out your ass. What'd you say? Blow it out your ass. You just told me to blow it out my ass? Okay, Subcommander Whippington, is that you?
No.
Get out of here. Go on, get out of here right now.
I should pull breath in.
Yeah, well, you know what? You holster that weapon. That's what you say, holster that weapon.
Yes, I understand.
All right. So, that was Subcommander Whippington, who we've just sent. He's got to sit in the van. You just sit in the car and you wait for me. So I sent him back to sit in the car just to...
It's kind of like a timeout, huh?
Well, you know, you're... Okay, is that a shot you're taking at us, or...
Well, no, it was a little joke.
Yeah, it is kind of a timeout, but it's not no kid thing. I mean, he's going to sit and reflect on what he done. That's all. All right, so basically what we were... I want someone else to fire so I can say holster that weapon and let Mr. Henry hear how I... Yeah, holster that weapon! Here, that's what you say.
I got it. Holster that weapon.
Right, but you have to do it with a commanding voice. Holster that weapon. Gosh, we're in so much to cover, so much ground to cover, Phil.
Well, you got some guys. You've already sent one to the car... For a timeout or whatever?
No, it wasn't no timeout. I wish you would not. You know, you make men who are committed to the safety of their community and have saved lives, you make us sound like we're a bunch of babies. You know?
Well, you sent him to the car to do what?
I sent him up to the car to reflect, yeah, on what he done. But that's not no baby timeout. That's a big, this is real world, okay? This is real world.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
I said it's real world. Real world?
Real world.
That's right. Real. This is a real world. And what?
Coming up there, man. Can I get a drink?
Can you get a what?
Can I get a drink?
No, you can't get a drink. Go back to the car, Whippington. Whippington, come out of the car. He wants a drink.
Want a drink of water?
You're not getting no drink of water. All right. You're making it sound like a bunch of babies over here. I'm on a radio with the Phil Henry Show. Holster your weapon, too. All right, Phil, so Subcommander we have Major, we have Brigadier Admiral, we have El Capitan. These are very unusual sounding ranks, yes, but they are specific to a community policing. So that's why we have different ranks. You're not going to have no Captain, Major, this and that, because it's going to scare people. We have Brigadier, we have the Major, Elvis Newton, we have Brigadier Admiral Jay Santos, then we have El Capitan, then we have... Major Domo, Major Domo, El Capitan, Major Domo, Major, I forget what it's called, Major Sergeant, and Sergeant Major, and...
Major, what is Major Domo?
Major Domo is the same, it would be the same rank as Lieutenant.
And what's Major Sergeant?
That's the same as like a Sergeant Major, but we flip it around, see? We flip it around. I can't see it good.
You flipped it around.
We flipped around, yeah. Flubbered around. I can't see it good. So we have Major Sergeant, and then we have Sergeant Staff. And that's a flip around of Staff Sergeant. And then we have Commander in Chief, and then Commander and Sub-Commander.
Well, I mean, and this is a rank structure that makes sense to you.
Absolutely, Phil. It makes sense to us. It enables cohesiveness in the ranks, and it just makes everyone feel chill, and everyone is, filled with... I think everybody has the... We're on the same page. Holster the weapon! You there! Holster your weapon!
I holster my weapon.
Oh, my God, he had it hanging out. You holster that?
Yeah.
Sounds to me like you got guys that are just, like, not very disciplined, you know?
I understand.
I mean, if you're going to call guys Major Domo and Commander-in-Chief, what's a Commander-in-Chief?
That's like a sub-sergeant. It's like a private. Commander-in-Chief is a private first class. Commander is a private second class. And sub-commander is a private third class.
Because all I've ever heard you say is you got a lot of sub-commanders.
That's right. Because none of them have qualified yet to be no commander-in-chief or commander. We hope, after we get done here on a firing range, we have some guys that can step up like men, go ahead and assume a rank of commander or commander-in-chief, or, you know, hopefully sergeant staff. And
or maybe even major sergeant.
Well, now I can tell you're making fun, you know.
Well, it sounds a little stupid. And Major Domo?
That's a major, and then Major Domo is lieutenant. And
El Capitan is a captain.
Right.
877-876-7445 here in the world-famous Phil Henry. God almighty.
I told you, holster it.
Anyway, 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show will be right back with Brigadier Admiral Santos.
Come on, holster it.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They are checking out or qualifying, if you will, members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on a range in the South Bay tonight. It is the River Club, which is a firing range. It's a gun range where a lot of people go to gain proficiency in the use of firearms, which is what the Phil Henry Show would recommend, of course, to any and all who would be users of firearms. You must get training and qualify and become proficient with that use, and there's a lot of ways of doing it. Jay, what would you recommend besides, being on a range?
Well, I think, you can, I'm not sure I know what you mean, but in what sense? And
what would you recommend to the average person who is interested in gaining proficiency with a firearm?
Well, I don't know, you got to buy one. Is that what you mean?
No, that's not what I... Yes, of course you got to buy one.
I mean, that the first thing you got to do is own one. That's where I thought you were going at. So go buy a gun. No.
Are you telling me that if someone who doesn't know anything about guns, the first thing they should do is buy a gun?
I'm not sure I understand. Of course, but...
What about going to a range and renting one or finding a teacher?
Oh, okay. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just went and I bought a snub-nose. See, I had been watching, and again, it's not. I wasn't influenced by television, but I did see a Private Eye show where a guy has snub nose, and I want to get it. So I went. I went. I got a snub nose, but yeah, you're also right. I did get, tested on a proficiency and all that. So I did go get a snub nose, but I don't recommend people do that. I do recommend. Well, I was going to recommend that you buy a gun, but you're right, Phil. You should first get better on. Learn how to use one.
But you didn't do any of that.
No, I didn't do any of that. I bought one and played around with it, you know. And
what do you mean you played around with it?
Well, I mean, you know, I stood in front of a mirror and I was doing the twirling tricks and stuff like that. But I'm different, you know.
Yeah, you're sure different, man.
Well, Phil, you know, you can be a smart ass all you want. And
so you bought a snub nose. What'd you do?
I bought a snub nose and I did a bunch of twirl tricks. I was twirling around and
did you put it in a holster?
Well, you're just trying to make me look like a complete ass. And
no, I'm asking you what you did so people will know what not to do.
I don't understand why you would be hostile at...
Didn't you just say, don't do what I do?
Yes, I did.
All right, don't do what Jay did, which is to buy a gun, then stand in front of a mirror and twirl it around to see if you can do the... What do you mean?
You're doing a twirl trick. And the reason why I did it is I knew, as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I was going to get proficient and get good at it. So I didn't need to do a lot of the steps that other people do. And
so when did you go get proficient?
The guys are here this week. When did I come out here? Last week I did. And
how long have you owned the gun?
Well, I've owned the gun for 2 years. And
so you only just last week did you go out and begin to get qualified on that gun? This is what I'm talking about.
But I'm different, Phil. I work on a Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're about saving lives. And
it doesn't make any difference. What you're telling me is you're recommending do as I say, not as I do. You're recommending people go out and get training and get a teacher, and before you even consider buying any weapon at all, make sure you know how to use a gun. Make sure, and you didn't do any of that stuff.
Because I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
We're about saving lives.
Yeah, we're about saving. Go ahead. I'm going to go up and down the line. What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about? What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about? Not saving lives. What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about?
Huh?
What are we about? Oh, he can't talk, but he can sign it. Sign it. That's right. He just signed about saving lives.
Okay, I heard two guys in that line that sounded...
What?
The guy that can't speak?
He's fine. That's Jerry. Jerry, you're good, right?
Good, yeah.
He's doing sign language. Don't make any noises, Jerry, because it scares me. Jerry, here, I'm going to check Jerry. We're going to make Jerry proficient, okay? What do you say, guys?
Hey, Jerry.
Woo! Yeah, let's do Jerry. And, let's do Jerry. Let's do Jerry. Jerry just told us all to F off in deaf speak. So,
you know, this is very distasteful to me, Jay.
I'm sorry, Phil. It's just, we're police officers. We kid around kind of rough, you know? We don't mean nothing by it.
Yeah, you're police officers. You're volunteer guys that are firing weapons near people's ears.
Near people? What's a beeple? What's a beeple?
Cross between a beetle and a beeple.
See how quick my guys think? As soon as I said, what's a beeple, Sergeant Gleason had an answer.
That's great. That's great.
Well, you know, you may not think it's a big deal.
Okay, so...
Hey, Jerry. We're going to check Jerry out, Phil. Here is Jerry, and Jerry is one of our sub-commanders, and yes, Jerry is speech... He don't talk too good, but Jerry's speech impaired. But Jerry, what kind of weapon do you have? Go ahead and sign, do the sign language on it. Okay, got a Smith & Wesson. Third model double action. That is a sweet little, isn't that a little honey? You like that, huh? It's a sweet one. All right. Go ahead and let her rip. And don't do it near my ear, whatever you do. All right, let her rip.
Yeah, 21.
That's 21.
Yeah.
Miss.
That's two misses, but he got 21.
He got 21. What's that? What does that mean, he got 21?
Well, we're using targets that we bought over at... Where's that target from, Bob? We got him at Toys R Us, but it's you got to understand something, Mr. Henry.
You got the targets at Toys R Us. Are these human-shaped? Are they...
Hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry. No, it's a lawn dart target or something, but we got it at Toys R Us. You don't need to have no gun. You don't need to have no target. Don't shoot it yet, Jerry. Don't shoot it. Holster that weapon. Holster that weapon.
Can't hear you.
Oh, he can't hear me. Put the weapon up, Jerry. Here, give me the gun. All right. So Jerry, you suck. Go sit in the car with Whiffington. Go sit in the car. All right. So there's two guys in the car now.
So in other words, if they don't qualify, they go sit in the car.
Yeah, you got to sit in the car and don't play the radio either. A lot of times they play the radio, they screw around. All right, who we got next here? Epco. Okay, this is Subcommander Epco. And Subcommander Epco, what kind of gun are we talking about? What you got right there?
All right, this is a long barrel. It's a Smith & Wesson long barrel. And it's a M917. It's a second model end frame.
All right, you got an end frame there. That's nice, huh?
Right, and it's chambered for 45, though, it's the same.
It's chambered for 45.
That's correct, yes, sir.
All right, go ahead and let her rip. Hold on, let me get out of the way here.
All right, so you're standing right in front of the...
Yeah, I was standing in front of the bullseye, Phil.
Bullseye!
Okay, that's three bullseyes, but, you know, I don't like the idea that's 45.
Yes, sir.
So, I'm going to give you a failing score because that's not a 38, and... even though it is a long barrel, you know, you don't have a snub nose. You don't have no snub nose, huh?
I don't like a snub nose.
Sit in the car. All right, so that's three guys.
Why'd you send that guy to the car? He got three bullseyes.
I know, but he's got a 45 there. And I told him he's got, well, I didn't tell him, but it bothers me that they went out and they freelance that way, right? And he doesn't have a snub nose. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's wrong with him.
So they got to have a snub nose. Okay. I got to keep that in mind.
Why? Are you going to be a member of Citizens Dolls Area Police?
No, not at all. But I would, you know. I got to remember, you know, that you guys all carry snub nose.
Right. I don't worry. He got a long barrel. That's pretty nice. But the fact is, 45, it's no good. No good at all. All right, let's go to the next guy here. Now, this is Subcommander Bluton. And, Bluton, I want to ask you a question here because I'm not sure. What do you got there in your pants?
Well, this is kind of a semi. It's a Glock. And I know that I'm not supposed to, but it's sweet. It's sweet. Well, see what it can do, too, because it's pretty sweet,
you know. All right, let her rip.
What do you think?
Jesus, man, you whipped off a bunch of shots. Is that guy, you okay?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, I thought that guy was dead. Do that again.
Whoa!
God damn, son! That's good shooting! That's good shooting, Phil, so I'm gonna pass him. And
you're gonna pass that nut, huh? I don't know how many shots I heard.
That guy, man, he was letting it off. He had him dancing down there. Make him dance. Go ahead. You wanna hear somebody dance, Phil? Look at this. Make him dance. Woo! Yeah, make him dance. Dance! Dance! I said dance! Yeah. Got him dancing. So that's really what we're talking about. And
so that's what you're talking about, huh? Just having a guy firing multiple rounds from a handgun. You said that was a Glock?
That's right. It's automatic. Semi-automatic. And it was a beautiful thing. You should have been here.
No, I could hear it. All right, Jay, hold the line, and we'll be back as you qualify members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I don't know whether those guys are sub-commanders or if some of them are going to be promoted to commander or commander-in-chief or maybe even sergeant staff. We'll find out when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Let me see that gun. Let me see the weapon. Unholster that weapon. Yeah, that's bitching.
World-famous Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jay Sanis with us from the River Club, which is a shooting range. And you had a guy there who was... Now, let me talk to this other gentleman.
He's right here. Come here for a minute, will you, please? Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir. What's your name?
This is Richard. Richard Mack, Mr.
And the reason why I came over to tell these people to vacate our range because...
What is your name again, sir?
Richard Mack. Ricardo Mack? No, my name is Richard, not Ricardo, okay? And I told this man, Mr. Santos, and his citizens auxiliary police, I don't know who they are, to vacate this range now. But the problem is, Mr. Henry, this guy comes over and starts telling me, you know, I've got to take all subcommanders. I told him that I already put two in the car. That doesn't mean anything for him. I'm talking to the man on the radio right now. I want to speak to this man.
Okay, you've been ordered off the range.
I understand that. We're going to be leaving. Okay, you know, you flex your muscle, you got your little power base going. You feel good about it? Let me say, no. Do you feel good about it? Let me say something. That's my phone. I know it's your phone, but I'm talking on a radio right now.
Let the man, if that's his phone, I want to talk to him.
God, what a chip. Yes, sir.
All right, sir, Mr. Mack, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Santos and his officers have been told to get off the range.
Say, officer, I don't know if these men are police or not, but they had wearing a white hat, a white helmet, you know, a pith helmet. He said that they're a uniform.
Yeah, they wear a pith helmet uniform.
But they look like, you know, just like six, you know, retards standing.
So they, okay, all right. So who fired all those rounds?
It's this man over here. I don't know this man's name. I tell you his name, Subcommander. Now, let me speak, okay? Subcommander what?
Subcommander Whitlock.
Subcommander Whitlock? You know his name?
No, I don't.
All right. He was the one that was firing his deeper rounds and almost killed, and I want to make this point, he almost killed the man who was target setting for us, Bill Ratko. And he almost killed him, and then they said to him, dance, or something like this, like they're playing some Wild West game. So that's why I came over to tell him they must, you have to leave.
Right, I'll leave, you know, but I do want to speak to Mr. Henry one more time.
Why don't you tell him to get on his phone?
Mr. Henry said, for you to use your phone. I don't want to use my phone because it uses up battery. Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. So, sir, we have asked them to leave. If they do not leave, then, of course, we're going to call the police.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm going to call in to
get my phone back, if you don't mind.
Well, all right, he said he's going to call in, bud.
All right. Yeah, let me use my phone. So we called the police.
He's right here.
Okay, Jay?
Yeah, first of all, we are the police.
Oh, you're not the police. You're not the police.
I know, but we're the citizens' auxiliary police.
I don't know what they mean to say you're citizens' auxiliary police. I want the real police.
You are real police? I am a police officer, okay?
Not if they will. You shoot like you are a crazy man.
You know, Jay, can I jump in here? Jay.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're very nervous about guns these days. You know that, right?
Absolutely, Phil. We're really good, and we've good reason. And yes, we've good reason. And we've good reason, Phil, and that's why we're trying to be proficient.
Well, you're not getting proficient with some jackass firing off multiple rounds from an automatic gun, this automatic 9mm he had, and then he's firing single shots, and then he's... Oh, this guy said he almost killed somebody.
No, he didn't almost kill any.
Yes, you did. He almost killed. You said dance. That's different. We didn't kill him. We're aiming at his feet.
And you're aiming at a guy's feet, making him dance.
Yes. I mean, are you kidding me? Everybody knows that's one of the ways that you... It's one of the ways you get proficient. Everyone knows about that. I mean, I'm not saying like on a movie or anything, but you do have someone... You got to make a guy dance, don't you? Or
no, you don't. No, you don't. You can kill somebody that way.
How are you going to kill him hitting him in the feet? See, that's the whole thing. We would not hit nobody in the feet. And
no, but you could bust... You know something, Jay? The cops are on the way there?
Yes, sir. The police officers are on the way. But these men have to clear out.
I wouldn't leave them.
Yeah, I would suggest you get the hell out of there, man.
You know what I say? Get the hell out of here.
Tell me that.
Get out of here. All of you. All of you. You too. The deaf mute. Take him.
Come on. He don't want us around no more.
I don't want any of you, you crazy freak. And take that other freak with you, too.
Which one?
Yeah, that's a good point. So many of them. This one here. What's your name?
Come on.
What's his name?
I'm not going to tell you now.
What's your name?
Ralph.
I can't find out. His name's Ralph.
God, Ralph, what did you tell him your name for?
You see what I'm having to put up with? And this freak...
and a blue armband and Bermuda shorts. You know.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, you did the right thing, sir. You did the right thing.
Yes, sir.
And they are a some kind of a posse, a citizens this or that, a bunch of clowns. And you did the right thing by getting them out of there.
This guy, get out of here, you freak. Guy snuck up back behind me and tried to pull my T-shirt up over my head like the guy in the TV commercial. You ever see that?
Yeah.
That's what this guy just done.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? No, he didn't get me. No, he didn't.
Yeah,
no, he did not get me. Does my T-shirt look like it's over my head?
You might have pulled it down.
No, no, no way. See, this is the humiliation. And
what happened?
Nothing happened. He claims...
Yeah, Ralph pulled it right over his head.
He did not pull my T-shirt over my head. If he did, you'd see me with my T-shirt over my head.
Hey, Ralph, did you do it?
Ralph said he did.
Okay, you know what? Get them out of there.
Get out of here. Mr. Henry said to get out of here.
He's no cop.
He's your cop.
You're not a cop either.
I'm your cop. I'm your cop today. Yeah, you know these guys?
Yeah, oh, no, I do not know them. I know Jay Santos.
That big tall, that ape came up, tried to pull my T-shirt over my head. And then Santos is going, hey, hey, we did it. I go, look, you see a T-shirt on my head? No, you didn't.
Well, that's kind of a petty argument, isn't it?
No, no. What do you mean, petty? He said he...
Okay, never mind. So are they gone?
Yeah, they're getting in their cars now. They're taking their time. Look at them smoking cigarettes.
You're up dead.
Yeah, you guys get out of here before the police come. They lit up a bunch of cigarettes. Now they're playing grab.
What's going on?
They're playing grab ass.
You know, Jay, if you're listening, I suggest you get in your cars and get the hell out of there, okay?
Yeah, they're running around in the parking lot grabbing each other's ass. They're purposely trying to, you know, make me angry, and they're purposely trying to take their time.
Well, and then the cops are going to throw them in jail. Thank you very, very much, Bill, this evening, and so sorry for your trouble.
That's all right, sir.
And it's good talking with you, and I'm glad you run a responsible range there.
As long as you run the most responsible range, yes, sir.
All right, thank you very much. That's Bill there from the River Club, and Jay Santos and his... Did you hear those guys?
Man, I would never let him back there.
Unbelievable. Now they're up in the parking lot playing grab ass. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, getting less world famous as the days go by. I'm telling you, man, it is. It's some days it's just not worth it. I'll just say this much, okay? What we do on this show, you know, what I've endeavored to do on my radio show is to, you know, use radio as a creative outlet, to use radio as a creative medium. Most programmers and most people that run radio shows and radio stations today, they wouldn't know that, man. If you walked up to them and hit them in the face with it. All they know is right-wing talk, a little bit of left-wing talk, news blocks, news blocks, news blocks, and we watch our industry, the radio industry, sink further and further into the morass. And all you need to blame anybody is, and I know most of you don't care, and you shouldn't have to care. There's other things you can do. There's all kinds of places you can go for entertainment. You don't need to listen to this talk radio, such as it is. And I'm telling you, man, I thought it was bad, but I swear to God.
Better stop talking about it. You ain't get in trouble.
Oh, am I going to get in trouble? Oh, well, I don't want to get in trouble. Goodness gracious me. Well, here's a guy that's looking to do everything he possibly can to take what was once a winning situation and talk about throwing it into the toilet, Mitt Romney. Why, hell, Mitt, if you ever need the job, man, you can run probably any broadcast company in America because you got plenty of experience of taking something that's gold and turning it to cow dung before our very eyes, and that is the Republican nomination for President of the United States. Here's a guy, for whatever reason we don't know, goes to London, makes a statement about the security apparatus or the security of the Olympics or whether it's good, whether it's bad, or whether it's indifferent. What is he thinking? What was he thinking of? Why did he say what he was saying? Well, I got a couple of guesses. I'll expand on those in a moment, but to give you the further sort of grandeur of the story, the mayor of London, Boris Johnson, has, quote, hit out. Now, I heard at one point he was chiding. I heard at another point he was jibing. I heard at another point they were joking with. So I don't know whether they're angry or whether they're amused. But one thing's for sure, both him and Cameron have said some stuff about Romney that is not very flattering. He hit out at the U.S. presidential candidate Mitt Romney for comments suggesting Britain is not ready to stage the games. Boris Johnson fired up a large crowd in Hyde Park saying, "There's a guy called Mitt Romney who wants to know whether we're ready. Are we ready?" Well, you can imagine what the crowd's response was. Earlier, Romney backtracked after meeting UK PM David Cameron and predicted a very successful Olympics. The Republican will take on Barack Obama, yada, yada, yada. In his first foreign visit, Mr. Romney is making as a presidential candidate, and correspondents say his campaign is aiming to boost the foreign policy profile of the former governor of Massachusetts. So Romney's remarks brought a very caustic comment from the mayor of London, Boris Johnson, in front of a huge crowd. He said, quote, "I hear there's a guy named Mitt Romney who wants to know whether we're ready." And then, of course, he asked, "Are we ready?" And the crowd said, "Yes, we are." Earlier in the interview with U.S. Network NBC, in an interview with U.S. Network NBC, Romney said London's difficulties with security guards and threats of border staff strikes were obviously not something which is encouraging. "It's hard to know just how well it will turn out," Mr. Romney said, referring to the Olympic Games that kick off in London on Friday. Here's why this is important. You may think that it's refreshing to have a guy shooting from the hip, or you may think it's refreshing to have a guy be honest. No, he wasn't being honest. Maybe he was shooting from the hip or the lip. But what he was doing was commenting on something he had no knowledge about. That's really not good because, look, if Romney has some information as to what may be a compromising security situation, well, the first person you're going to talk to are the people in charge of security. Now, I understand that it may not be all that heavy, that you have the right to comment if you are so informed and if you feel so qualified on what's going on with the Olympics. But he doesn't have those qualifications. I don't give a damn if he was in charge of the Winter Olympics. He's not a member of the British government. He's not a member of any security service. He doesn't understand their country and doesn't understand what it is that they're doing. He says, obviously, it's not something which is encouraging. It's hard to know just how well it will turn out. These are all negative statements about a huge event that London is staging, that the United Kingdom is staging, that as Americans, because they're friends of ours, because they have been allies of ours, because they've shoulder to shoulder with us for a long, long time through a lot of really bad stuff, you know, your instinct might be to be a little encouraging, like, well, you know what, man, everybody, these problems work themselves out and we'll be fine. I'm sure they're going to do great. Well, whoever was asking the question, what do you think about the whole thing? But Romney made a big rookie mistake. He wanted to look like he's some kind of a world beater. He wanted to look like Mr. See, I said early on I would vote for this guy if everything came out equal in the wash. If he made some progress on social issues, because frankly I do believe that the country needs a much more conservative economic hand. That's just I said economic. Okay, I'm not talking about women's right to choose anything like that. I'm very, very liberal on those issues to give you an idea of where I stand, and I hate using that word, but hey, there it is. But I do believe we need a far more conservative hand in terms of the dollars. Romney would be the guy. However, with the big fat mouth this guy's got and the stupid stuff he's been saying, that's all we need. We need a guy to step into the shoes of President of the United States and to run around the world pissing people off. That's great. I don't give a damn if he pisses off Arabs necessarily, or depending upon the Arab state, of course, or you know, the people who are traditionally or who are at present foes of ours. I don't care about that. But when you go to a country where the guys, an ally.
How long have you been an ally for, though?
Who?
British.
They've been allies of ours, man, for over a century.
Yeah, well, that's kind of iffy on account of revolution.
Oh, will you get out of here? The revolution's 200 years ago. I'm talking about a country we fought two world wars with these guys. You know, they came to bat with us during the war on terror, you know, the Gulf War and the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. They've been there every step of the way. So you go over to their country. You don't try to, hey, listen, baby, woo-hoo. You know, I ran the Olympics in Salt Lake City, so let me just tell you where it's at. That's what he was doing, like a dumbass, like a hillbilly. Let me tell you how it looks to me, having run the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City. Looks to me like you guys could use a little bit of work, see? So that's when Cameron came back and said, you know, running the Olympics in a bustling, major, international city is different from running the Olympics out in the middle of nowhere, which is basically what he was calling Salt Lake City. We're not worried about overseas headlines. We're worried about voters here at home in America, said Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, a leading Romney ally, in trying to defend the governor. Well, it isn't overseas allies, because, dude, as much as I don't give a damn about what people think of this country other than America, I personally, when it comes to countries that have been, you know, been pretty loyal and pretty loyal friends for a long time, you know, you might want to say something a little less sharp than that, because they're trying to make this thing a success. They want their Olympics to be a good experience. The back and forth attracted attention on Twitter and did dominate U.S. TV coverage. Yeah, Romney, get out of here, man. I'm done with that guy.
Yeah, you're not going to vote for the guy just because of that?
Just the guy is just, he stinks. He's just got a stink coming off of him. Forget it, man. You know, I'd vote for Obama now if for no other reason. All that so-called lack of experience, well, he's got 4 years of it now, which is four more than this guy's got. All right, we'll take a break here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Facebook is a really fascinating story, folks. It's really an amazing story. It's a perfect story. It's the perfect story for this environment. And it's the perfect story, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, it's the perfect story for the environment of... By the way, there are stations that are just carrying our last hour. What is that about, man? Who agrees to that, man? Carrying just 1 hour of our show, the last hour. Is that because we talk more traditional stuff and the first two, it's too weird? Is that it? Man, I'll tell you, if you're only carrying 1 hour of the show, get rid of the show completely. I don't want to be on your lousy radio station. You understand? That's something else I didn't get said.
Yeah, well, now you did.
Great. I'm telling you, man. Facebook is another example of a company that had a lot of momentum, obviously, but for want of a little bit of brain power. And it sounds crazy that I would even say so much about a successful enterprise like Facebook, but they made the most fundamental of errors, one that is shocking, given the creativity, given the groundbreaking entrepreneurial energies of the young man that started their company, Mark Zuckerberg, who is now, of course, their CEO, the head of the whole thing. Facebook is selling shares, I should say, on the New York Stock Exchange right now. They're selling them at $23 a share. They opened at around $38, $39. They have gone down. In a year, they've lost double digits. They have lost percentage profits percentage-wise over the last quarter. And it's all for want of a very basic knowledge when it comes to their actual platform, when it comes to the actual technology that we're talking about, you see? See, Facebook has got a great product. But they don't, and their founder, Mark Zuckerberg, is a guy that knows the product inside out. But what he didn't know was how to promote it. Now, I'll give you the reason that I'm saying this. Listen to this. Facebook fell in late trading yesterday after its first earnings, and by yesterday, we're talking about Wednesday now, after its first earnings report as a public company showed a slower sales gain and narrow profit margins. Opening margins, excluding costs, 43% in the second quarter, a decline from 53% a year earlier. California-based company said in a statement, they had a four-fold surge in sales and marketing expenses. Revenue rose 32%, the slowest pace on record. Payments-related sales were $192 million, well short of the $199 million that the market analysts wanted. Mark Zuckerberg, addressing analysts for the first time since May when they had the initial public offering, issued no growth forecast, said little else to reassure investors. It's a show-me story, and so far they ain't showing nothing, says one of the equity research analysts. The problem is deceleration. There wasn't anything from an outlook perspective that would indicate that this deceleration is going to stop. What's the problem? It's very simply this, and this is a stunning oversight by Facebook. The use of mobile phones in the American market is rising rapidly. Now, that's a good thing. That's a good thing because people are buying mobile phones not just because you can talk to somebody on the phone real good. It's because you have internet access with your mobile phone. You have email access with your mobile phone. You have instant messaging with your mobile phone. You can make phone calls with a mobile phone. You can go online and do all this marvelous stuff. I update my website from my mobile phone. I write blogs from my mobile phone. I tell people to, kiss me in the right place on my mobile phone.
Sure do.
Take it easy. No, I don't. Well, sometimes. Lot of stuff, man. All right. I bet you do too, folks, those of you listening to me. It's a no-brainer. And as I said, and I've said this many times, our company, my little company, we saw this coming 2 years ago. We saw this coming 2 years. I said, it's good. People are going to be... I mean, that's when we started screwing around with Puffin, and we started screwing around with that other Skyfire, whatever the hell that was, all these browsers that did support Apple Media, or did support, I should say, media on Apple products, you would be able to receive. And there was a period there of two glorious months when we were accessing our website by way of the Skyfire browser that I was actually watching our own video casts live. It was amazing. And all of a sudden, it went away. I don't know what happened. Maybe they didn't work the deal with... I suspect Apple got upset with them because they weren't giving Apple 99.999%. They were only giving them 98%. That's the problem with Apple. The greediest bastards on record. You know what you might do, Apple, before you wind up like Facebook, is quit coming out with a new version of the phone every 16 seconds. Let everybody catch their breath and buy a freaking phone, man. I want to buy a phone that I'm going to hold on to for a while. Do you mind? That was the greatest news in the world. But I read yesterday about Apple. Your sales in iPhones are beginning to slip. Great. Good. Serves you right. Getting so freaking greedy, you won't get any, nobody can catch their breath. You get a 4G phone. Next thing, well, we got the new one coming out. Well, I might as well throw this in the river, huh? What's the point of buying your product, man, if it's going to be obsolete or near obsolete in a few months? What are you, crazy? Wake up. All right. So Facebook doesn't see this. For all of their genius, they don't see that people are using mobile devices. Now, what's important about that? If you are selling advertising on your website, as Facebook is selling advertising on their website, naturally... you're going to want to make that advertising available or legible or readable or apparent on a phone, on the Facebook mobile app. I have my little Facebook mobile app right here. We all do. I go and I play around on Facebook with my...
picking up chicks.
Will you shut?
Let's talk about that.
Picking up chicks. Maybe.
Yeah, I knew that, man.
No, I don't know. No, I do not. No, that you are. Anyway, why'd you say that, man?
I don't know.
So, thank you, bud. Where'd you meet your girlfriend, Vivian?
I met her on MySpace.
Oh, well, MySpace, that's different, huh?
MySpace, man, that's a dirty back alley. They got venereal disease, MySpace.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you mean they got venereal disease on MySpace?
They got virtual venereal disease. Like, you don't really get it, but you don't really get it, but you go to MySpace, you feel like you got venereal disease.
Yeah, I heard one guy say he went to MySpace one time, and then he went to the bathroom, and it burned. And
just shut up, man. It burned.
You swear to God.
Oh, really? Well, I'd like to interview that guy. Now, here's the point. If everybody is going mobile and your website, Facebook, is not supporting ads on a mobile device, you got a big problem. Why didn't you see that? Well, we don't know. You just didn't consider mobile devices. And I have to tell you, it wasn't a real stretch. It wasn't a difficult thing to see. It really wasn't. But okay, let's just say that you overlooked it. Now, what are you guys doing? Okay, it's been 3 months, 2 months since your public offering. What are you doing? You're still standing around scratching your rear ends trying to figure out how to put ads on a mobile phone?
I've seen a lot of ads on mobile.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of ads on mobile. There's a lot of ways of doing it, and I'm sure that Facebook is looking into the best possible way. But in the meantime, you got people that are obviously not feeling comfortable about your company or investing in it. Now, I'm willing to bet, unless there is some major technical or technological or technocrat problem with getting the kind of advertising that MySpace needs to support them on a mobile, barring that, I'm betting that MySpace, or excuse me, Facebook, I said MySpace, Facebook will figure it out. But by the time they figure it out, maybe people are going to be like, I don't care, because I got to tell you something, and you probably know it, people on Twitter, it's a whole different crowd on Twitter. And all they ever do on Twitter is talk, not all they ever do, but anytime anybody brings up Facebook on Twitter, it's like people on Twitter look down their noses. They look at Facebook like it's for a bunch of, like, for morons, basically. And people split Facebook because they want to be where they think the smarter people are, which is on Twitter. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's true. I don't know what's true and what isn't true. But the perception is that Twitter's got smarter people and more interesting and this, that, whatever. I don't know. Maybe more celebrities. People like to talk to celebrities. So they go over there. Meantime, Facebook is going to be looking at a MySpace future. MySpace now is a toilet. Just a big, fat, ugly toilet into which reputations and virginity is lost. Thank you.
Hey!
That's a great way to wrap it up, Mr. Henry. Thank you. I thought it was pretty good. No, I don't know. But MySpace, they've got less than a bad reputation. They're, you know, it's almost like MySpace is now the willingly a member of Legion. All right, we'll be back with more here on The Phil Henry Show. By the way, on our we're looking at our New York Times front page tonight, July 27th, 1852. It's real weird. They're getting their news, like, this is July 27th, 1852. They just got one dispatch just came in from Turkey, dated June 10th.
Turkey?
Yeah, that's how long it took them to get it to the New York Times. From June 10th all the way to July 27th to get a dispatch from Turkey. And the only thing the guy was talking about is what a bunch of freaks the Turks are or something. Anyway, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's kind of interesting, you know, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, I'm going to flip over to our New York Times front page here. And I'm sorry, it's a very old paper, 1852. But what's interesting to me is look at the date. You can see that, July 13. Now, this is the 27th of July. This newspaper came out on July 27, 1852. Now, here's a story from Oxford County, Mississippi, dated July 13. Life of a Pioneer, How He Lives and When and What He Does, a Down East School Note About the Century, or about the country. So this is a correspondent for the New York Times sending a dispatch from Umbago Lake, Oxford County, Mississippi. July 13th is the date of his dispatch, which means it took about 2 weeks for it to get from Mississippi to New York.
Are you kidding me?
No, but Bud, this is 1852, man. I don't think that the telegraph, no, I don't think the telegraph was an option. We didn't have the Transcontinental Railroad until the 1860s. Now, that's Mississippi. Now, here's one from the U.S. Hotel in Saratoga, New York. So that's just upstate New York, July 25th. 2 days to go from Saratoga down to the New York Times in New York. Now, I showed you this one here. This is from Turkey, June 19th. So from June 19th to July 27th is how long it took for this New York Times correspondent to send his story about a dinner he attended given by the British and some other kind of merchants to the British ambassador on the occasion of his departure. So this New York Times correspondent got invited to the dinner. He covered the dinner, and a month and a half later, there's the news.
Man, that's not going to be worth nothing.
Why?
Well, because it's old.
Yeah, it's old, but dude, nobody had any new news. So if you're the New York Times, you get a news story 6 weeks later, that's about state of the art for this particular time. Now, that's Turkey, June 19th. Here's a story from Wiesbaden, Germany, and it's a much, much earlier, or it's much, much later. It's July 3rd, I think. So from Europe to New York, this is July the 6th. From Europe to New York, it's July 6th to July 27th. And this was a correspondent who was at a new museum that was opened by the dang king of something or other. Germany, I guess.
But there wasn't no Germany.
Yeah, you said Germany didn't even be.
Germany didn't even be, huh? Germany was not a country until the 1870s, you're right. But even still, the general area there of Germany is what they called that there, Germany. So anyway, that's an interesting story there concerning how long it takes for news to get places. Now then, what the hell were we talking about, Dan? No, I said I wanted to bring something up, though. Remember? Think I'll... Oh, yeah. Here's the... Yeah, on Twitter, that's right. Here, the money thing on Twitter is very interesting. They sell tweets. If you want Kim Kardashian to say she drinks Bozo's chocolate milk, you pay her, I don't know how much per tweet. I think it's a lot of bread. And I may be way off the beaten path if I'll throw out a ballpark. I think it's like 25 grand, something like that.
Wow.
But I could be wrong. It could be more. But if you have Bozo's chocolate milk and you want Kim Kardashian to pitch it, you'd say, oh, here's 25 G's. Will you do a tweet? And she'll say a tweet. You know, like, oh, got up this morning, had a big glass of Bozo's chocolate milk. Man, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I made my head all fright wigged out.
Yeah.
Sure, whatever. If you drink Bozo's chocolate milk, here's a picture of me and here's my hair. You know, whatever. Whatever a bitch of Bozo's chocolate milk would be happy.
Where do you get that anyway?
What?
Bozo's chocolate milk.
There ain't no such thing as Bozo's chocolate milk. I'm making it up, man.
Oh.
What, are you guys looking in the yellow pages for the Bozo distributor?
Yeah, if there isn't one, I like... Do they have a Southwest distributor?
Yeah, you go ahead and you get that, bud. Wow.
You know how to spell Bozo.
Yeah, B-O...
There ain't no such thing!
You said there was.
I'm kidding, man. God. Woo! So anyway, cut to the day after this horrible tragedy in Aurora. Now, this has nothing to do with the relative price of tweets, but there are businesses online that tweet. The day after the horrible tragedy in Aurora, Colorado, there is a company called Celebrity Boutique. Celebrity Boutique carries different clothing items that are sponsored by or have celebrities have lent their names to, okay? Now, Celebrity Boutique came out with this ill-considered, I mean, this absolutely mindless tweet that said, we see that Aurora is trending. It reminds us that the Aurora, that Kim Kardashian's Aurora dress is out and you really ought to buy it, and it's really cool.
Man, I remember that's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, I bet you they closed down.
Well, they didn't close down, but here's what happened. It's a tweet. It just absolutely shocks the hell out of people. Look at Kim Kardashian. First of all, Kim Kardashian's got the, boy, nobody that I, everybody hates her guts. At least the people that I know, or people that I follow on Twitter. I mean, I swear, all they ever do is bash this woman. So now comes this tweet, the Aurora dress by Kim Kardashian. Well, let me tell you, there's this freaking just flood, man, opens up on these guys talking about who the hell, do you understand what Aurora this, that, that? Now, this clown that runs the Celebrity Boutique Twitter feed, whoever he or she is, first of all, just, well, that was a mistake. They tried to blow it off. It wasn't even like Kenneth Cole. Cole's was, he knew what was happening in Egypt and still said he knew, but he didn't know. He knew, but he didn't know the significance. So Cole was in much dumber, if you think about it. But anyway, people were laying into the Celebrity Boutique. They tried to blow it off. Comes the next tweet. We're really, really sorry. We had no idea. Please forgive us. Then comes the next one because they're still getting it. And they finally cop to this. They said, we are sorry, ladies and gentlemen, from the bottom of our hearts. We had no idea. Our social media is run by someone separate from us. And our PR, people who actually look at the trending of different topics, is not even in this country.
Not in America?
Not even in America. So this Celebrity Boutique said, whoever's doing the tweeting is here in the States. Whoever's doing the PR or the actual view of what's happening around the world. See, it wasn't their Twitter guy that was looking at the Aurora being a trending topic. It was whoever did their PR somewhere outside of the United States. All they saw was Aurora trending, and they went ahead and made a tweet out of it. They never investigated why
they were trending.
Why they were trending, yeah.
What a bunch of idiots.
Indubitably, whatever that word means. Yes. Idiots. Something's there on that trending. There's a little trending chart on Twitter. And some days it'll say, you know, a lot of different stuff. And on that particular day, it said Aurora. And for good reason. Why? Well, you knew. I knew. We all knew. But apparently the clown that runs this Celebrity Boutique tweet, they didn't know. And they got their ass handed to them, man.
Man. But I wonder if they're still online?
Yeah, they're still there. They're still there, and they apologized, and they apologized. And then I think they stopped tweeting for the whole day just to kind of let the whole thing simmer down. But it's that kind of thing. You don't recover from that, man. Seriously, people get so angry when they see you being stupid that way, just like that Kenneth Cole thing.
What was that?
That Kenneth Cole thing was when Egypt was in the throes of that civil unrest and basically a revolution, moving Mubarak out of there, the military, this, that. And you saw all this stuff, all of the movement of the crowds, the violence, and millions of people descending on Cairo to protest the government. And Kenneth Cole's tweet was, millions are marching on Cairo. They must have heard about the new line of Kenneth Cole shoes, okay? And they got just leveled by people saying, you understand that this is a revolution, people are dying. Now, the difference between Cole and Celebrity Boutique is that Cole actually knew what was happening, and that dumbass, I'm not saying him, but whoever it was that tweeted for him, those dumbasses still went ahead and tweeted. They didn't get the significance of what was happening in Cairo, as opposed to the stupid clowns at Celebrity Boutique who didn't know at all what was going on in Aurora. I'm sure if somebody had said to them, Aurora's trending because there were people murdered there, I don't think anybody'd go, well, I don't know.
Yeah, see, you don't know, man. You think they're smart, but they're not, like that Kenneth Cole guy.
Yeah, Kenneth Cole's a dumbass. I wouldn't buy no shoe of his, if ever. I wouldn't even buy one shoe of his.
Kenneth Cole wasn't the guy that did the tweeting, bud.
Well,
I mean, he's ultimately responsible, yes, and he did make the public statement. He said, you know, on behalf of my company and myself, I'm embarrassed, I'm sorry, I don't know what, you know, I it's just absolutely unacceptable, and we're sorry that we did what we did.
Yeah, but would you buy one shoe?
I would buy one shoe, yeah.
But yeah, but not two.
You'd buy one shoe.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're going to, I want to use my consumer dollars correctly, you know.
Yes, and that's a very intelligent buy. Just get one shoe.
What are you looking at me for that? I mean, what's that?
I'm looking at you like you're an idiot because you are an idiot.
Why?
One shoe? What are you guys going to do with one shoe?
Well, But yeah, but we're not buying two shoe.
Yeah, they'd have to throw the other one out.
They'd have to throw the look at first of all, man. They bought your. They're not going to sell you one shoe.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not. How much does one shoe cost? Oh, I know what you're going to say. One half.
Well, yeah, one half of the two shoes.
Yeah.
They're not going to, dude, they're not going to break it down like that. They're not going to say, oh, we'll sell you one shoe. If a pair of shoes costs $300, okay?
$300? What are you talking?
Okay, never mind. If a pair of shoes costs, whatever you guys, $60, $50?
$50.
God, man. I got to pay you guys better. $50. They ain't selling you one shoe for $25.
Why not?
Because they don't sell one shoe. They don't do it that way. They're not going to break up the pair.
Yeah, but they can't. What if I only want one?
If you only want one shoe, then they're going to sell you one shoe and charge you for two.
Then that's a jip.
It may be a jip, but if you're dumb enough to go in there and buy one shoe, man, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, see, that's the dishonesty of the business, what you were saying.
That's not dishonest. I charge you for two shoes, too.
What?
I would charge you knuckleheads for two shoes, too. Don't you understand? Of course.
You wouldn't sell one.
Why am I going to sell one, bud? What possible reason would I have to sell one? I sell you one shoe. That means I got to wait for some dumbass to walk through the doors of the store and I can say, anybody interested in buying?
What, man?
I got to talk to some guy. Anybody interested in buying one shoe? I'll give it to you for $25.
Okay, you're going to laugh at this, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
But, okay,
If it was a one-legged guy, meaning what if a one-legged guy came in?
Yeah, they got to buy shoes too.
I'll tell you what, bud. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, see?
Okay, no, you make a good point. I'll tell you this. If a one-legged guy came into my store, yes, I would sell him one shoe for one half the price.
Yeah, see?
You really nailed that one, man. That's great.
Well, why don't you think that's good?
What's the likelihood, man? How often do one-legged guys come into shoe stores, okay? I'm sure that we can, get a bunch of people to probably give us a testimonial on that one. All right, we'll be right back here. Our final segment coming up. Maybe we'll find out if there's a one-legged guy out there. It's the world-famous... world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Interesting. I don't know, man. I'm looking for Celebrity Boutique. I was trying to pull them up on Twitter here for our viewers on Phil TV and HD. Here is this is what I got. Celebrity Boutique is indeed an account, but I can't find. I'm not finding it here. I'm finding tweets.
Got to go to people.
I know I got to go to people, man. But it doesn't. They don't make it like that, man. Here it is, people. Celebrity Boutique. Now, this looks like a fake account. It looks like Celebrity Boutique ain't there anymore, man, if you look at this.
Why?
Because here is Celebration Boutique. Looks like a fake account, like somebody started it because they were pissed off at Celebrity Boutique. And there is no Celebrity Boutique. I wonder if they just got rid of the account.
Yeah, I bet you they did, because everybody probably did... sent them notes saying they're douchebags.
Maybe. They probably got too many douchebag notes and just finally just...
What if they like kill themselves?
Here it is, right here, Celebrity Boutique. This is Celebrity. This is the one I was telling you about. 4 followers? Are you serious? They must have started all over again, man.
Yeah.
I'm serious. This was Celebrity Boutique. See, there's Beyonce... Uh-oh, this must be a fake account, man, because dig this. Yeah, all of fashion's a parody. Yeah, it's a parody. See, we know what you're all thinking, but our high-end fashions won't holocaust you a fortune.
Oh, man, but they're kidding, huh?
Yeah, they're kidding. They're joking. Because it says, it's a parody. They put Celebrity Boutique's name in there. But somebody, the actual Celebrity Boutique, looks like maybe they shut down because they were just getting leveled. And I tell you something, it's unfortunate, you know, but if you screw up today, nowadays, in the media environment that we're in, and, you know, like our radio show 20 years ago to today, we've been doing all kinds of stuff. And the audience has changed in those 20 years. The audience is a lot more sophisticated now than they were 10 years ago. The audience in radio and the people that are using Twitter, all kinds of social media, far hipper than people were 20, 30 years ago. So if you mess up, even if it's not intentional, and I'm absolutely sure that it was not intentional, but some mistakes, folks, I mean, I think it's true to say this. If you get cut with a knife, even if it was by accident, even if the person did not mean to cut you with the knife, you're still bleeding. And, you know.
Yeah, you still need stitches.
Yes, you still need stitches. And,
yeah, you still got to go to the doctor.
Yeah, you got to pay for the doctor.
Yeah.
Right, you got to pay for the doctor. So.
And then you got.
Okay, I get it. All right, so the point is, you know, you still got to go through the pain and the trauma of having been cut. And, The screw up by this celebrity boutique, I wouldn't doubt if it cost them their Twitter account. I'm not saying that it cost them their business, but the Twitter account, they're going to have to restructure. They're going to have to put it under a different name. They're going to have to, because they're just going to get leveled, man.
Yeah, that other one, man, looked just like them.
Yeah, see, that it said parody. And Twitter's rules, by the way, Twitter allows parody accounts. Even to the point where sometimes it almost like looks like the account, like the real account. But you have to be very clear. You have to say it's a parody account. You have to say it's a, you know, it's a joke, basically. And
anybody do it on you?
Oh yeah, all the time. And people that do parody accounts of me, you know, that's fine. But there have been people who've tried to do accounts that look like an account that I would have, and we get them shut down. You know, and you have to. But the people that do these accounts that are actual for real, and they don't mean anybody any harm, and they wanted to do business, and they're trying to do, and they're just too dumb to know the environment that they're working in. It's like these, you know, the opposite of that, man, are these guys that are brain surgeon writers. They work for Columbia University, or that one guy that was, you know, he was a Rhodes Scholar and all this, and the cat is tweeting stuff about that woman that was attacked in Egypt. Speaking of Egypt, remember that CBS reporter?
Yeah.
Okay, she got manhandled and essentially sexually assaulted, and this cat was making some really stupid comments, man, on this Twitter feed that eventually got his ass fired, and he was just like shocked. This guy was, you know, saying, "Oh no, man, I've always been a supporter of women," you know.
Yeah, and and the other thing he said was that he was like a feminine or something.
A feminine?
You talking about a feminist? Yeah.
Jesus, bud. Anyway.
Well, yeah.
Okay, yeah, but the guy was trying to talk about, like, he was a big liberal and all this and that. Forget it, man. And then the cat, what they do is, and this is really unseemly, they will get all petulant and mad and say, "Well, I didn't mean that, and people are taking it out of context, and and then they have to get their ass booted off of Twitter or whatever the hell happened to them. In this case, this cat got fired, man. I don't even remember this guy's name, which is probably good for him, you know?
Yeah, like, he wasn't all that famous in the first place.
He was some intellectual, man. People thought he was all this in a, you know, bag of pork rinds. I don't know who the cat was. But he got his ass bounced. But the point I'm making is that people don't recognize what's up. Like that guy Anthony Weiner. What a moron, man. What an idiot. You know, the only reason why it doesn't happen to guys like me is because I get it about this stuff. I've been working in media for 40 years. I understand how fast this stuff, I understand the whole, you know, travels like wildfire thing. And,
yeah, you understand the whole thing about how a chick may sound good on the phone, but man, she looked real funky.
Okay, thank you very much. The world famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. And, of course, our, website is philhendryshow.com. We invite you to go online and get a backstage pass and enjoy all the things that we have to offer you at philhendryshow.com. One of the all-time greatest sites in the history of the world, man.
Yeah, don't forget about our podcast.
Yes, our podcast, episode 23, is up and raring to go and online right now. Check it out. Check out our podcast. Go to our podcast banner at philhendryshow.com. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. And I say that advisedly. No, thank you. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.